At AngiesList.com/Amber, you can find thousands of unbiased ratings on services for your home improvements, car repairs, and even doctors. When you use promo code AMBER, you will save 25% off your subscription. It used to be difficult to find service providers you can trust, but not anymore thanks to AngiesList.com/Amber. So visit AngiesList.com/Amber today and save time and money.
It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Thank you for joining me today on the Amber May Show. And I think it's fascinating about the Bible when you can read the same scripture over and over again, then suddenly you get an epiphany. You get more revealed to you about the message. And today I want to talk about the tree of life. That's right, the tree of life. And you might think you know everything about the tree of life, but maybe this is another way to look at the tree of life. And you can find the story that starts off everything in the book of Genesis. And I'm going to focus on Genesis chapter 3. And what's fascinating about God in the Bible is he foreshadows his whole work in the Old Testament. Everything that he is going to do in the New Testament with Jesus dying on the cross, he already revealed to us in the beginning of the Bible, which is the Old Testament. And in Genesis chapter 2, it talks about the garden and that there was a tree of life and a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that God brought all the animals to man, and he would name all of them, and he forbid man to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or he would die. But he could take from the tree of life, and he would live forever. So that kind of catches you up if you haven't read Genesis and you don't know how this whole world started. It's a wonderful a revelation of truth on how God decided to form mankind and laid out his plans right in the very beginning. And I want to focus on the tree of life. And I want to ask you the question, why did God remove Adam and Eve, or the man and woman, from the garden? You might say it's because they ate from the forbidden fruit. That's part of the equation, but the true equation is, if they ate, which they did, from the forbidden fruit, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so they found out that what good and bad is, what evil and good is, and they became sinful beings because they disobeyed God, if they would have ate from the tree of life, they would have lived forever apart from God in sin. And God never wanted that to happen. He always wanted a relationship with mankind. From the very beginning, we saw that. God and man always met together in the cool of the evening, and they fellowshiped together and they communed together. And because God wanted that relationship with mankind so much, he didn't want them to eat from that tree of life, which would have had them live forever apart from him. So he banished them from the garden. Now let's look at the tree of life. God tells us in the very beginning that if we want to live forever, we're going to need the tree of life. Fast forward to our day. Each of us had to enter and go by the way of the cross, which is a tree. It's made out of wood, a tree, to have life eternal with God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not die but have everlasting life." It took Jesus dying on the cross for us to have everlasting life. The cross was made of a tree. It was wood. So in the very beginning, we saw that if we want to have eternal life, living forever with God, then we need to go through the tree of life. Let me tell you also what Jesus said in John chapter 15. And he makes all kinds of references to trees and branches. He wanted to show us a parallel. He wanted to draw us a picture of what he's talking about salvation. And Jesus himself says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." Again, it's like a tree image, a plant image. "If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Interesting. Again, God's using that analogy of a plant to show a life, that if we can't have life apart from God, apart from Jesus. that one day when we leave this earth, we're going to meet our maker, and we're either going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life or we're not. And at that point, you can't say, now I believe in you, or now I'd like to have a relationship with you, because your time is done. He gave you just as much time here on earth to realize that he loves you so much. He desires to have a relationship with you, but he's not going to force it on you. So if you don't want to have a relationship with him, that saddens him, that breaks his heart, but that's your choice. And so you don't know how long you're going to have to live. You hear young kids all the time passing away, and you hear adults passing away at young ages. And then there's those that live their ripe old age. So you're running a risk because you're not guaranteed to live 100 years. You're only guaranteed today, and what you do with today is your decision. But sticking with that idea of the tree of life, you read in Revelation chapter 22, John is seeing this vision. He's been banished to the island of Patmos, and he's getting this vision from God. And a lot of Christians see that as the end time prophecy book. There are some end time revelation things that are in that book, but the predominant message of that was Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And when you look at Revelation chapter 22, it says, the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The Lamb is Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Because in the Old Testament, again, it's a foreshadow, they had to sacrifice a lamb to atone for their sins every year. Well, God's going to send one final unblemished lamb. That's why he was so mad at the Israelites when they would sacrifice animals that had blemishes, that were the worst of their stock. If they were sick or if they were broken in any kind of way, he was so upset because he's trying to show a sinful person, okay? And then he's going to send one that was perfect in every way. And that one perfect person was going to have all the sins of the world put upon him so that you and I can have a relationship with God. And so when they were doing this sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament, where they were giving blemished animals, animals that were sick and not giving their best, it was messing up the whole story that God was trying to give them. Because they needed one perfect person to atone for their sin. And at that time, God set up an animal sacrifice. And it had to be perfect to atone for their sin. Okay, so here we have this image. And it's saying that they're in the throne room of God and that the Lamb is there. So Jesus is right there, down in the middle of the greatest street of the city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life. Guess who the tree of life is again? Jesus Christ. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through him, right? So we're seeing that the image, he's telling us our salvation, our Savior is up in heaven right now. And bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. 12 crops of fruit, that to me symbolizes the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. It just meant that his people were with him. You know, it's a symbolism of that. And so we know that the tree of life is in heaven because Jesus rose on the third day, right? And he is our tree of life. We saw that in the New Testament, knowing that the tree of life was going to give us life everlasting. We were going to live forever. And then we fell, but God made a way and he gave us the lamb. And the lamb was sacrificed on a tree. The tree of life. Because of Jesus dying on a tree, he gave us life everlasting. We just have to believe on him. And that's it. Just isn't that fascinating how God does that and shows us that? Let me just read to you about his crucifixion really quick. And it's found in Matthew chapter 27. You can find it in John chapter 19, I believe. And it says, verse 32, as they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to the place called Golgotha, which means a place of the skull. And there they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. And when they have crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots and sitting down, and they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And the two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right hand and one on his left. And those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." You know what's fascinating about that scripture is those people didn't realize that he was the temple. He was the one who was going to be raised in 3 days. God destroyed the temple because he didn't need the temple anymore, because he didn't need to make sacrifices in the temple, because he was our Savior. He was the Lamb of God. And the Bible says in the New Testament that we are the temples, and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, resides inside of us because we are the temple of God. So he didn't need that physical temple anymore. He, us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, became the temple. Isn't that fascinating? And so we know that the Son of God is Jesus. It says in Revelations, the Lamb and the Tree of Life. And right now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father waiting for us. And he says, "If I go, I will come back and I'll prepare a place for you. And I will come again." And he told his disciples, "I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it anew with you in heaven." So this is your opportunity today to take that tree of life and start a whole new life with God. He says, "Who the Son has set free is free indeed." So I want to give you that opportunity to be free from the bondage of sin and death and be able to have life everlasting. If you want to hear the true story of the true meaning of Easter, go ahead and visit my website, ambermayshow.com, and look for the show on my podcast page. This is True Meaning of Easter. It's going to tell you the whole story of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in a radio theater type of way. So I hope you'd go by my website, ambermayshow.com, and check that out. Also, if you'd like to spread the word about my show, hit my corner store page there. Purchase a bumper sticker. It's only for cost. I'm not making any money on it. And that would really help me spread the word about the program. If you'd like to write me, you can email me at amber@ambermayshow.com or write me at P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona 85385. That's P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona 85385. And remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you.